They are his sheep. He is the great shepherd. Dear believer, tonight, oh, that you would see that you are precious in the sight of God. That you would see that the flock of God is precious in his sight. Every one of us are precious. That is why a church is a family. That is why there should be a unity and a bond between us. That is why we should look forward to times of fellowship and blessing together, because we are part of the same flock, part of that flock that is so precious to the Savior. That is why we're to love the brethren. As we saw this morning, we're to pray for the brethren.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and I'm delighted to welcome you to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need. Listening to What Though Clouds Are Hovering O'er Me by Joseph Greer. This is Let the Bible Speak. Welcome to our program today. I'm Andrew Fitton, and I'm glad to have you along to hear the Word of God. We have been considering Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, and let us read some verses here in this passage and remind ourselves of what the Lord Jesus Christ says to us. And of course, the words of Christ are important words. They are the words of life by which men and women can be saved. Are you listening to the words of Christ today? Are you obeying the words of Christ? Are you resting upon the finished work of Christ as revealed in his word for your salvation? Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 29, the Saviour says, "And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink. Neither be ye of doubtful mind, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." The Lord Jesus Christ is emphasizing to his disciples and to you and I the importance of seeking first the kingdom of God, of making the kingdom of God and our seeking after it the most important thing, the priority within our lives. Is that your priority today, to seek after the kingdom of God? The Word of God reminds us that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where is your heart today? What is your treasure? Is it a heavenly treasure? Is it the treasure of Christ? Oh, that it would be, that you would know his so great salvation. Verse 32 says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And that's where we are today. Let's go to our pulpit for the second part of that message entitled, "Fear not, little flock," and may the Lord richly bless the preaching of his word to all of our hearts.
They are his sheep. He is the great shepherd. Dear believer, tonight, oh, that you would see that you are precious in the sight of God. That you would see that the flock of God is precious in his sight. Every one of us are precious. That is why a church is a family. That is why there should be a unity and a bond between us. That is why we should look forward to times of fellowship and blessing together. Because we are part of the same flock. Part of that flock that is so precious to the Savior. That is why we're to love the brethren. As we saw this morning, we're to pray for the brethren. And we're to uphold each other at the throne of grace. Why? We are precious to the Savior. So there's a great application then, as we think of what we said this morning regarding the disagreements and the divisions that can arise in so many places for so many reasons. Let us strive against such things because we're precious. The brother, the sister who offends you, the brother, the sister who perhaps you don't like very much, they're precious in God's sight, as are you. Let us love one another. Let us see each other the way that Christ sees us. Precious. We're his flock, his little flock. But notice here, secondly, that the flock should seek its shepherd. The flock should seek its shepherd. Notice what verse 31 says, "But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added on to you." There is a priority here in view. A priority. And Christ in the Gospels and in his word does a marvelous thing. He constantly teaches us, his people, about where our priorities ought to be. And why is that? Because we need constantly reminded to put our priorities right. We are constantly shifting our focus from one thing to the next and being taken up by the things of this world. And we need to prioritize and we need to focus upon the Savior. And here is that great verse, "Seek ye the kingdom of God." We are to seek Him. We are to seek His kingdom. We are to put Him first. And all these things, all our concerns, the Savior says, they'll be sorted. They'll be added unto you. The fundamentals of all of this is that we ought to seek the Lord for His so great salvation as well. Tonight, where do you stand before the Lord? We're speaking here about a flock and the shepherd. Are you part of that flock? Flock of sheep? A flock that loves the Savior? Do you have that great shepherd of the sheep, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your Savior and as your Master? If not, you need to seek Him. You need to seek the kingdom of God. You need to seek His salvation, lest your soul will be lost. For the only salvation is through Him alone. Seek ye the kingdom of God, the Savior says. And Scripture, if we are to take it seriously, and we must take it seriously, reminds us time and time again of the priority of making sure of our soul's salvation. It's a priority. Because there's a limited time to get right with God. Limited time to get right with God. I've walked through graveyards in this world. I've looked for specific graves. There was one time I walked with a friend and we went to see Spurgeon's grave in London, Norwood Cemetery, I believe. I was there many years ago. I was 8 years of age. I remember being taken there by a friend of my father's, and we went to see Spurgeon's grave, a big edifice, a tomb that had been constructed. And many years later, 10 years later, I took my friend. We walked for quite a distance. We went into the cemetery and we walked around trying to find where his grave was. That was before we could really connect our phones to the internet and Google where the grave was in relation to the cemetery. And so we walked around till we found it. That's really what we did in those days. We walked around till we found it. And walking around that grave, Spurgeon died 1892. That cemetery was used before then. So many graves from so long ago. Someone born 1798, died 1758, for example. And as you walk through that, and if you've ever done that yourself, and you've walked through those graves, you'll see the span of a life set out there. When that person lived, when that person died, and in the middle was when they had opportunity to seek the shepherd. And for many, it was an opportunity they did not take. When we come to Spurgeon's grave, we see that he had that opportunity too, that life to seek the Lord. We see from what it says on that grave, from the great hymn, "There is a fountain filled with blood," one of the stanzas is on his edifice, on the tomb. It's very clear that here lies someone who sought the shepherd, who knew the shepherd, who knew the saving power of the shepherd. Are you seeking the shepherd tonight? Do you know his salvation? Do you know his peace? Do you know his provision? Because you are part of his flock. That is a priority for us, to know the shepherd. Seek ye the kingdom of God. And in our troubles and in our trials as the flock of God, we must always focus upon him. This is what the Savior's teaching. Get your eyes off the issues. Get your eyes off the problems. Get your eyes off those things that will discourage or take your heart away. Focus upon the Lord. Focus upon the Lord. Seek that eternal treasure. And then thirdly, we see that the flock experiences care from the shepherd. The flock experiences care from its shepherd. It is a little flock, as we've said. But that old Puritan taught that every believer is interested in the kingdom of heaven, and the great God will bestow the kingdom of heaven upon believers. The kingdom of heaven is a free gift of God. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you a kingdom. The kingdom of heaven comes not to believer by his own merit, nor by his own deservings, but by God's free gift. And there is this cur that comes. And this cur in the sense of the kingdom of heaven as well. Fear not, little flock, the Savior says, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We're not to fear. We're not to be paralyzed by fear in this world. Why? Because of our Savior and his marvelous cur for us. We can think of that verse in Peter we read about casting our cur upon the Lord. And dear believer, when you have those trials, who do you turn to? You have a shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. I think newspapers are maybe a relic of the past. But I remember being at work many, many years ago. And during the break time, the days again before you could just scroll on your phone and see everything, there were newspapers. And we used to swap them about and read them during our break times. And you turn the page and read the news and eventually get to the sport. But in between the usual news and the sport were the various crosswords and letters, and then a page perhaps they had what you would have called an agony aunt. Someone you wrote to asking for help and advice. And they wrote a response to give help and advice, and it was published in the newspaper and creating interest. And it was all a lot of rubbish, really, what was being said. But so many went there looking for advice, looking for help, looking help from the godless, looking help from those who knew nothing of the Lord, looking help in situations that were filled and stained by sin for the entertainment of others. Most depressing pages on the paper when you think of the reality of it. But how many do that? Dear believer, we're not to do that as God's people. We're not to look to the world for advice. There are times where we will look to the world for advice in the sense of business dealings and looking for advice in mortgages and various things, or medical advice. We're not talking about those things. We're talking about advice that comes directly from the Word, moral advice, spiritual advice, help in life to walk that narrow path for our Savior. The problems that come upon us, we're not to look to the world, we're to look to the Savior. And the flock of God experiences care from him. He says, fear not, he cares. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And dear believer, tonight, what a statement that is. Fear not, from the blessed Son of God. He's saying not to fear. Why? Because he is omnipotent, he is all power, because he cares. The word flock, the word fear not, the word Father reminds us of his love for us. What a comfort that is. We can think of the plan of Christ and the work of Christ and the victory of Christ over Satan, sin, and the grave. There's no need to fear because of Christ. There's no need to fear because of the world at large, because of Christ. We have a crown of glory awaiting us. What inheritance that is. The flock of God experiences care from the shepherd. Where is your port of call in trouble? May it be the Lord who speaks in these marvelous, comforting terms, dear believer. And then finally, the flock is blessed by a shepherd. The flock is blessed by a shepherd. This perhaps doubles up on a little bit regarding verse 32. But there's a blessing here. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The shepherd cares for his sheep. But the shepherd blesses his sheep. Dear believer, what a blessing we have. There's not a physical kingdom here. The Savior is not saying, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He's not saying you're going to be a king. He's not saying that if you follow him and you seek him, there'll be some little domain in this world and You'll be its ruler. It's not a physical kingdom. It is a spiritual kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is a spiritual kingdom, and Christ is the spiritual king. And we are part of that heavenly kingdom. And we need to remind ourselves of that. It is the kingdom of Christ. Kingdom where he is in control. A kingdom where he rules. A kingdom where he is upon the throne. The Shorter Catechism reminds us of the kingship of Christ. He's our prophet, our priest, and our king. And in being our king, that catechism teaches us that he rules us. And he defends us. We see something of that defense tonight because he's caring for us. Oh, how marvelous is the King of Kings who loves us. What a blessing it is to be part of his kingdom. What a blessing to be part of his kingdom. We have those in our congregation who came into Canada, myself included. We emigrated here for various reasons. I came because of love, but others came for jobs, for work, maybe because of love as well. We've a wide variety of reasons. Canada is not our home, but yet it is a place that we have come into. Many of us can see what a blessed place it is and how beautiful it is, and we've benefited from the economy and the various things that we're able to do in this land. Many who've come to this country have come out of situations in their own country that have been very difficult. And they've come for freedom. And they've come for reasons of liberty. They've come into the land, or that kingdom, as it were. And there's been blessing to be part of such a nation. But how greater is the nation of God, the kingdom of God? All the spiritual blessings that are found in Christ, the comfort and the protection of Christ, the promise of that eternal kingdom of heaven for all eternity. These truths, little flock, encourage our hearts, do they not? And as we go out into the world this week, let us not be discouraged. Let us not be disheartened by what is going on around us. Let us fear not. Let us keep our eyes upon the Savior, the one who, in his good pleasure, has given us the kingdom. We're part of his kingdom. Let us live. Let us live as citizens of his kingdom. I believe there's places in this world where speed limits don't apply. Roads where the government has said there's no speed limit. Do what you want. If we were to drive tonight up this street and pretend it's in one of those nations where there's not really a speed limit, we would find out that that speed limit is enforced in Canada. We would find out with a heavy fine, we would be in big trouble. If we were to drive at 100 kilometers an hour up that street, we just can't do what we like in this land. We can't treat this land as if it were another land. Dear believer, being part of the kingdom of God, we're not to treat the kingdom of God or live in the kingdom of God as we would in the kingdom of darkness. There's a difference. There's a difference. We're to live as citizens of Canada. We're to live as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, and obey the rule of its king, and honor him and glorify him in all that we do, because he has given us that glorious kingdom. Let us live for him. Let us serve him. Let us work to extend his kingdom by his grace. And as we close, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. As we serve him this week, let us think on this. Let us go out into the world encouraged, because our Savior is giving us comfort, giving us help, giving us strength. To him be the glory. Amen. For you.
Spurgeon takes us today to Isaiah 53 and the verse 5. With his stripes we are healed. Pilate delivered our Lord to the lictors to be scourged. The Roman scourge was a most dreadful instrument of torture. It was made of the sinews of oxen, and sharp bones were intertwisted every here and there among the sinews, so that every time the lash came down, these pieces of bone inflicted fearful laceration and tore off the flesh from the bone. The Saviour was no doubt bound to the column and thus beaten. He had been beaten before, but this of the Roman lictors was probably the most severe. My soul, stand here and weep over his poor, stricken body. Believer in Jesus, can you gaze upon him without tears as he stands before you, the mirror of agonizing love? He is at once as fair as the lily for innocence and red as the rose with the crimson of his own blood. As we feel the sure and blessed healing which his stripes have wrought in us, does not our heart melt at once with love and grief? If ever we have loved our Lord Jesus, surely we must feel that affection glowing now within our bosoms. See how the patient Jesus stands, insulted in his lowest case. Sinners have bound the Almighty's hands and spit in their Creator's face. With thorns his temples gored and gashed. Send streams of blood from every part, his back with knotted scourges lashed, but sharper scourges tear his heart. We would fain go to our chambers and weep, but since our business calls us away, we will first pray our beloved to print the image of his bleeding self upon the tablets of our hearts all the day, and at nightfall we will return to commune with him and sorrow that our sin should have cost him so dear. We trust that the Lord has blessed our program today to your heart. May it indeed be a blessing to you, and may you listen and heed the word of God if you know not the Saviour, and may you see his wondrous love for sinners, and may you know and experience his so great salvation. Thank you for listening today. Stay tuned for our announcements.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and be built up in your faith.
Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.